All right, what's up to everyone who's joining us from the Rambling Alcoholics podcast? We just did that show, and if you were listening to that show and you're fans of the Rambo Army, welcome. So this is the Social Nooses podcast, bitches.
Join our bonfire. Warm up. Put your toesies up on the warmth.
That's what you do, right?
Yeah,
you put definitely. Your toesies into the fire?
And if you're a regular listener, Rambling Alcoholic is not a new AKA for motion. It is, in fact, a podcast that we got to do a wonderful guest spot on, and we had a blast doing it, right? Wonderful, yeah, great time.
It was a great time, yeah. Rambling Alcoholics podcast. Shout out to them, and that was a good time. Now, let's start our fucking show.
Let's do it.
Social Nuisance Podcast.
Oh, shit! Okay, bitches, you guys are gonna be my...
Podcast. How you guys doing?
Welcome to Pound Town. Yeah, awesome.
Social
Nuisance! Oh, yeah, what the fuck is up?
Yeah, Social Nuisance Podcast.
Pound Town!
All right, hello and welcome to the Social Nuisance Podcast, your weekly discussion of all things current requiring further insight, opinions, questions, and otherwise kick-in-your-face perspectives towards the betterment of humanity. Subscribe and leave us a five-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help Pound Town grow. Get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, drop a dollar and become a short sponsor with our Venmo at Social Nuisance. Good times. My name is Imagine, and joining me as always, a man who is ready to become Jack Skellington to save Halloween single-handedly, Motion.
I fucking am, dude. Hey, dude, if I've ever promoted anarchy and being a social nuisance and causing problems, it's you send your fucking kids out properly masked and gloved, trick-or-treating all fucking night out on Halloween, okay? I don't give a shit if our Garcetti, Mario Andretti, Antonio and Freddy, whoever other... Andretti and any rhyming Eddie is says that you can't do it. You fucking send them out, all right? This is what you do. You send them out. You get all that fucking candy because people are gonna be ready to pass it out, dude. There's communities like Whittier, La Puente, La Habra. They're not gonna fucking not do it, dude. All right? I don't know if you get around downtown. I don't know what it's gonna be like when you get in the West Side. I don't know what it's gonna be like outside of there. But I know there's hoods that are gonna be well stocked and ready to provide. And those kids better go out and fucking do it. And as parents, you have a moral obligation to make sure this shit happens. You already got me started, and it's only been 3 minutes into the podcast. Anyways, have them do it. Make sure they're masked. Make sure they're gloved. When they get home, what you do is you strip them naked. Not strip them naked, but you remove the costume, right? You remove the costume, put it in the trash can, set it on fire, let the Rambling Alcoholics warm their toesies up with it. I don't give a fuck what you do with that. You take that candy, right? You put it out on the front patio, and you spray it down with some disinfectant. You just give it a minute. You flip it all over. You spray the other side down with some disinfectant. You give your kids a goddamn Halloween like your parents gave you.
I mean, you're not wrong. You're entirely wrong.
That's, you know what? When you say that, that's become the, that gives the same warmth in my heart as when my mom used to like tell me that she loved me. I know you're both lying, but I love it.
I'll take it. Yeah. Since we're jumping right into it, Los Angeles Health Department, they pretty much said, hey, man, Halloween's essentially canceled. Now, as I was talking to Daisy about this earlier, I was like, you know, you can't cancel the reason for the season. You know, the idea of the season, it's still ongoing. We're going to be spooky. We're going to be creepy like we normally are.
Absolutely.
But, you know, you can't cancel Halloween. But as far as, like, you know, the trick-or-treating and other activities, yeah, you can totally cancel that shit, and I think you totally should.
Here's a large problem with what's going on with our handling from the top down of COVID.
Right.
Somewhere along the way, the health department became God. And nobody's elected anybody there. The health department is making insane decisions about which businesses can and cannot remain open, how they should remain open, what policies need to be in place. And they're not, they don't answer to fucking nobody.
Well, I don't think they're making like laws and shit. They're not saying what can and cannot happen. They're providing their insight and recommendations of what should not happen. So they're saying, like, yeah, trick-or-treating should not be a thing.
But they're also the party in place of enforcing. So like all the salons that can and can't open.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? They have to answer to the health department. Restaurants with patios and all that, they're having to answer to the health department. And the health department doesn't have to answer to anybody. And that's not how our checks and balances are set up. So the health department has become insanely abusive with this newfound power.
Well, I'm not going to go as far as saying abusive, but I understand your point. There is no oversight, but I think the entrusting of the health department is they're making the best decisions based on health perspectives.
So we've all sacrificed birthdays this year. I mean, a majority of us, right? March 13th.
Right.
We began to shut down. We're still shut down as of now. Nobody's really, I mean, I noticed there's a lot more parties going on WorldStar and Twitter. So I don't know if people are getting fed up or what, but, you know, so is this just part of it? Are we just going to go all the way to Valentine's Day, to St. Patrick's Day? And then it would just be 1 year anniversary, open up the gates. What's going on here, man? What's the deal, dude? Well, I gave a foolproof plan on how to perform at Halloween. I said, we do it during the daytime for this one fucking year. We social distance. Kids don't knock on the doors. We leave the candy out there. We fucking wave to each other. They get the candy. They go on. It seems harmless. We can do it.
I totally agree. I think there's definitely ways to go about it. I don't think it should be canceled entirely. Like trick-or-treating, there's a way to figure that shit out. There's definitely ways to figure that out.
The fact that it got invented to begin with is genius. I mean, it's not basketball. Anybody can fucking think of you throw the ball in the hoop, right?
True.
But to create the scheme of Halloween?
Going to your neighbor's house door to door and getting candy?
We're not giving that shit over COVID-19? No, man. California, you're on notice, bro. We're putting you on notice. You're on notice. We're doing work come October 31st. And if not, if this doesn't change, October 30th, Devil's Night, I swear to God. Are you allowed to swear to God for Devil's Night?
I'm pretty sure it's allowed.
It felt weird when I said it out loud. Anyways, I swear to God, Devil's Night, full on fucking ruckus. My 35-year-old ass is acting 17 again. And when I was 17, I acted 7.
I think it's really interesting that, you know, there's like the initial like, what? Like, what do you mean this holiday is canceled? And it just dumbfounds me. Like, yeah, stupid. Like, we're not abiding by the rules and regulations of how to safely traverse COVID-19. And because of that, larger things are going to get affected. I'm just looking forward to how pissed off people are going to be when Christmas is canceled.
Is this a punishment?
All the hell's going to break loose.
Yeah, are we being punished? Yeah, so I had two things on. One I wanted to ask initially. Are we just being punished? Because there's a safe way to do this. Are we just being punished? Are we just being slapped on the wrist for not fucking traversing COVID-19 the appropriate way, as you previously, you know, mentioned?
I think it's appealing towards the lowest common denominator. If the dumbest person in the village can't successfully follow directions, then we have to make the rules in accordance to the dumbest person in the village. And I think that's why they're just saying, oh, you know, we just can't do it.
Or we kill him. Can do it. We kill him.
It's kind of fun to hear.
We get rid of him. Yeah. The other thing I was going to ask was, okay, so those of you that are celebrating this, they're like, yeah, I hate Halloween. Skeletons and ghouls, you know? Look, who motherfucker. Is that?
That's not our audience. You shouldn't be friends with them anyways.
No, it's not. But our audience knows these people, and they call them neighbors. So listen, you tell those punk motherfuckers, dude, that, oh, we're past 5 minutes, right? Yeah, okay. So I'm allowed to cuss after 5 minutes. Yeah. You tell those punk motherfuckers, dude, not to celebrate yet so soon, because guess what's gone forever? Christmas carols.
Oh.
No longer are we going to welcome anybody on our doorstep doing this bullshit with their hot breath. And I don't, nobody fucking wants to hear anybody sing through a mask, dude. Why do you think Mariah Carey finally shut the fuck up after 30 years? No, dude, Christmas carols are donezo for life. Blowing out birthday candles, Christmas carols gone. All right?
And I'm okay with that.
Nobody let the Filipinos know. I don't think we're going to be doing karaoke anymore either.
Oh, man. Now that's where we draw the line.
Dude, I don't think karaoke is coming back, dude. They better get back. They better get good at nursing again.
It should be interesting to see how Halloween plays out. I mean, even then, you look at like Black Friday and people like shopping, consumerism. That's just like the foundation of America's Christmas and consumerism.
Oh, dude, that line. It's going to have to be 6 foot apart. It was already a block long.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to it. But like you said, you know, you're totally right. There's where there's a will, there's a way to execute holidays according to, you know, social distancing guidelines. but we should not be saying Halloween is canceled entirely just to cause mass hysteria and provide clickbait.
Yeah, no, we shouldn't do that. And I think it's time to start. What are you allowed to do to local representatives when you're not? I know you can't. You just don't vote them in again. But what do you do in the meanwhile? You just like email them, call their office. You know what they did up in Portland was they set the guy's apartment complex on fire or whatever.
That's always an alternative.
Yeah, that just doesn't seem like a good one. It doesn't seem like that'll get us Halloween back. But that's I could be true. Wrong.
I mean, it is Devil's Night. It's fire, right?
Yeah. So, okay. Well, I was going to say you heard it here first, but then I'm scared to say it. Make no mistake, Matt, our listeners will do it.
Well, there's a will, there's a way. Halloween is not canceled. Just figure out how to safely execute and do it. But no big-ass parties and all that shit. Just figure out how you can be spooky singularly.
Yep.
But if things are going to be canceled, before I continue with the rest of the show, how was your week, man? We kind of just took it right off.
Not good, bro. Okay, good.
What happened?
Okay, so this is what happened, dude. So, one of our boys had their birthday. Shout out to Polly. Happy birthday, son. Happy birthday, Polly. The next morning, we decided we're going to get a jump on the morning. My family is not a 9 a.m. active family, dude, but we're out. We're in the streets, 9 a.m., looking for a parking lot to have breakfast in. Nice. You know what I mean? So we're going to have breakfast for Polly. Norm's already had 14 families around the block and shit, so we're trying to come around somewhere else where we come upon this intersection that has no power. It's a lighted intersection. It's a big intersection. There's no power. So what does one do in such position? You stop and treat it as a four-way stop. Am I wrong?
That is correct. Judges, yes, that is absolutely correct.
By the way, just so the public knows, judges are 6 feet apart. Everybody's spread out. Social distance. Yes. They got masks. The judges are being appropriate. Anyways, yes. We get fucking rear-ended by delivery truck, like for shipping. And I go and do my research on this company because he had no markings on the truck, no DOT, no MC. It was super illegit. What it is, the company is called GoShare. And if you guys want their phone number, give them a call and ask them what they do when somebody rear ends a family. And is it really appropriate to leave them crying and bloody in the street? Anyways, so what it is it's essentially an Uber for shipping. If you own some sort of vehicle where you can do shipments and take packages and maybe bigger boxes or whatever, such as the Dodge Sprinter 1500 that slammed into us, you can log in. They'll give you shipments. You can make deliveries and they'll pay you happily.
Oh, wow.
So being this Uber Lyft model for shipping, we incur such different problems in gray areas that are why the governor signed into effect these new laws that stop this type of subcontracting. So, Although you can have companies like mine who basically took the work that other shops couldn't do and gave them a wholesale rate, went and did the work, whether they were incapable of doing it, too busy to do it, loved my work and wanted me to do it instead of their guys, whatever it was, I got run off work from other shops, gave them a wholesale rate, went and did it. But because we're in the same industry, the new law of state, you can't subcontract someone that does the same thing as you. So I had to close my business. Because companies like this shipping one are exploiting these laws, not paying their taxes, and then doing these insurance scams, not insurance scams, but scamming insurance companies in these gray areas where this guy runs into us, acts like he doesn't speak the language, when finds out we speak the language, ignores us, closes door, rolls up his window, won't give us his insurance. So we call the police. The police have to come, finally give us his insurance. He gives us a personal policy while he's working. And then the company is like, hey, we want to rectify this, blah, blah, blah. We want to do good. 3 days later, the company, I'm calling them every day. The company's like, mind you, we made the insurance claim. We're talking to attorneys about what we need to do because of the way it was handled. Oh, so essentially we stopped at the off power section. He slams into us going like 50, 60 miles an hour.
Fuck.
Destroys the rear end of the car. The car looks fucking totaled. Is totaled. The whole family was in the car. Thank God everybody's okay. Total concussion protocol. I mean, you know, dizziness, vomiting, nightmares for the kids. Just bad perspective. Afraid to get in vehicles now. You know, the whole thing.
Damn.
And the way they handled it was so trash. The company is called GoShare. I'll give you guys the phone number. We'll give you guys the lady. Give them a call. Talk to them. Ask them why they do this, why they behave this way. They're like an internet startup, so they're looking for investors. They're looking for drivers. And just the way the whole thing was handled, like, if that was UPS, you know how UPS would have handled it? Oh, shit, you got hit by one of our drivers. Your car was full of your family. Wait, we need to, you know, it would be handled. But because they're exploiting this business model of the subcontractor that quite frankly is exactly why I can't do business the way I used to do business. It's just, we're just fucked. We're totally fucking fucked by this company and this dude who just both happen to be douchebags. And like I said, thank God the family's okay outside of standard concussion. And, you know, I don't, that was our Labor Day. So, damn, yeah, it was rough, dude. It was violent. And I was upset and doing my best to not be outraged, but his inability to want to communicate, you know, motion got to be motion. So,
and that's never a good thing to let you off your leash in that regard. But I mean, I totally understand, because if you're going to, you know, go at the throat of somebody, it's going to be because my family was at risk.
Absolutely. And I don't like to see my tears drive me crazy. Yeah. Seeing someone I love shed tears. And the boys, Desi shed tear because he was afraid and injured. The boys shed tears because they were afraid and confused. And then Nat shed tears out of confusion. And it's just like, dude, you're right there in front of me beyond this glass and door, like little window and door where you think you're invincible. Yeah. And right there are four people that I care more about than anything. They're all shedding tears, and it's your fault, and you're right there. I can't think of a more dangerous place for you to be than in front of your car.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree. And if you want to reach out to this company, you can reach them at goshare.co. They have a contact us page. They don't have a phone number listed.
I got the phone number.
Okay. Well, you can find that phone number. You can give it to us at the end of the show. But they have a contact us page. You can email them or hit them on the chat and say, hey, what the fuck? So go share, go fuck yourself. Go share can go fuck yourself.
Exactly. That's their motto. Hey, but real quick, that phone number, because they're San Diego, it's 619-326-4404. 619-326-4404. Like you said, it is very fishy that they don't have their phone number posted. And they're the ones who sent us their phone number because they supposedly wanted to resolve this quickly. 3 days later, they fire the guy and are distancing themselves and just said, take it up with him. And so, yeah, we're taking it up with everybody. We're talking to lawyers right now and seeing what we need to do. But, you know, that sucks because what they're doing, too, is they undercut the shipping rates of legitimate shipping companies who would have handled this appropriately and who have to pay the overhead and the insurance to stay in business, to be a well-managed, a well-greased functioning machine in this state. And you get these guys who do these bullshit subcontracts deals to undercut those companies. And then when something like this happened and the family's hurt, they just tell them to fuck off, you know? And this is exactly why we have these new protections that you know, hurt and help people, you know, I want to say equally, but maybe not.
Yeah. And this kind of leads me into one of the stories that I wanted to cover. And like you mentioned, the law at hand that we're discussing is AB 5. Now, AB 5 was originally conceived by an assemblywoman out of San Diego, oddly enough, who wrote the 2019 law, and it was designed to support a 2018 California Supreme Court ruling that classified more workers as employees, which entitled them to benefits such as
insurance,
overtime pay, unemployment, minimum wage. Yeah, so a number of different things that normally you wouldn't get as an independent contractor. You would only get them as an employee. As you articulated so well, a lot of these companies are dodging those responsibilities by simply saying, well, we're taking on people as independent contractors. They can choose to work for us if they want to, but they don't have to. It's totally on them. So they dodge a lot of the responsibilities by simply saying, well, they came to us. And here's where it gets a little bit, you know, iffy. Like you said, it affected your business in a way where you weren't able to do subcontracting work.
Correct.
Whereas other people like myself, who was driving for Lyft for a little while, I found it beneficial where I was very flexible. I could do whatever the fuck I wanted as far as like clocking in, clocking out, distance, doing – I was in control. I had a lot of control over my, you know, quote-unquote employment. So like you said, pros and cons in regards to the gig economy. But eventually there was enough pushback about some of these companies taking advantage of their workers. And AB 5 was introduced and passed into law. Governor Gavin Newsom signed it into law in 2020. So understandably, a lot of people were affected by the law that weren't necessarily supposed to be affected by the law. Such people like yourself, freelance writers, musicians, film support crews, visual artists, who did independent contract work, not through like Uber or Lyft or whatever the fuck this company was called, but they were independent contractors. But once this started to occur with AB5, a number of their reoccurring gigs, because they did so much work for these contractors, they were forced to be then classified as employees.
Correct.
But that fucked up their dynamic because it wasn't they wanted to be an employee and their contractor wasn't letting them. It was just a reoccurring gig, and that's the best possible thing if that's what you want as a an independent contractor. You want a reoccurring gig, constant money, good relationship with whoever it is you're contracting with. Everything's kosher. Everything's cool.
Go ahead. My beef with it essentially was that I was raised on if you came up with a good idea or a good business, you should be able to do it. If it's fair, it's legal. You know, like, that's a good idea. That's a good business. My idea was I'm going to take the fallout from other shops. I'm going to do what they can't do. For instance, like, a lot of print shops can't do raps. I can do that.
Oh, so I've seen you rap, man. You drop bars.
Ah, you too, SA. You too, Holmes. here's the other thing. Now, my personality is good for sales, but not collecting. So if I can do your customer's work and you have to deal with getting the money from the customer, but my terms are I get paid when the work's done, I created a niche for me.
Yeah.
It was a good idea and it worked. I believe that if you can create a good business idea that is fair and not illegal, you should be able to be allowed to pursue that. I don't think the government should have a spot to jump in and intervene in that. Now, I understand there are thousands of people that needed protection and were getting exploited. I get that, you know, but this sounds terrible. It's not slavery. Like, if someone's exploiting you, I know that it's not easy to just go get a job. I'm not saying pull yourself up by the bootstraps, but you have the option, hopefully, to try to do something else outside of whatever situation life has you in. You know, right. If you're stuck and you're in a jam, I'm sorry. That's you, you know, that's where you're at. But I don't think it's cool for the government to do this like market experience or experiment just on the fucking free market. I don't think it's cool for you like for the government to come up with an idea and then backtrack according to the fallout, because I don't make any noise during the fallout outside of this podcast. So right. It was cool to see them do some backtracking for artists and musicians, because even like guys who have bullshit, like 50-year-old men who never made it in music and they got a band that plays at some bar in Arcadia, you know, off Huntington Boulevard. Now they have to become employees of a bar. And right. The bar's like, I'm not going to fucking hire you guys as employees and then watch. The bartender might be the owner. It might be pretty much sole proprietor. Now I got to get insurance to have 6 employees just to have you play. I'll just put money in the jukebox.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't know really how I feel about this outside of how I personally feel, which is I got fucked. But I'm trying to look for the people who were protected and the people got help. And I think Uber and Lyft, I think it's a cool gig. I think it's neat. But I think they fucked their drivers, you know, so...
Yeah, I agree. And here's where I come into it. So with the gig economy, you have to understand it's a gig. It's not a career.
It's not a career.
And if you're going into the gig economy and saying, like, okay, well, I drive for Lyft or Uber for fucking 80 hours a week, I should get overtime. No, man, it's a gig. You're working the gig for 80 hours. That's your fucking problem. So and ultimately, I understand – If you don't like your gig, then get out of the gig. And that's where I come into agreement with you as far as you made a good business model. You found yourself a niche. It's America. You should be able to run your business as long as it's good and fair. And I think it really was. But here's where I wanted to focus in regards to AB5 as well as the redrafting. So just recently, they modified the law, and it took effect immediately, and it provided flexibility to those employment fields that we had mentioned, like musicians and artists and so on and so forth. This is what I wanted the takeaway to be, is that if a law comes out and you, the population, do not like the law, you can affect the law. You have to engage your officials. You know, the assemblywoman who wrote the bill, she's like, yeah, I fucked up. And people let me know, yeah, I wasn't exactly what I wanted it to be. Cool. Let's revisit the drawing board. Let's tinker with it. You know, I know you mentioned, you know, they're walking it back. I wouldn't necessarily say, you know, they tried to do something and now they're walking it back. I think they tried to do something with good intentions, but clearly their good intentions weren't aware of the full scope of the impact of the law. And due to the feedback from the community, they were like, nah, man, you fucked up. That's not how it should work. Okay, cool. Let's revisit and tinker with it and revise it, redraft it. And then they passed it the modifications. And that's how the political process works. That's how civics work. It has to be engaging. You have to come together with people who are similarly affected and say, look, what are we going to do about this? And then take action. It's not just a one-stop shop, black and white. We pass a law. That's the way it goes. We have to engage in civics.
In my end, as a business owner who was drastically affected, I think you should did that research. You should have been more fine and narrow with the description. You know how
agreed.
How fucking vague terminology in law is already.
Yeah.
We already know that. We already know that when you said freedom of speech, you kind of fucked us. Because now people go, well, freedom of speech doesn't mean you have the right to hate speech. It doesn't mean if you just never wrote that shit down,
yeah,
we'd have freedom of speech.
Right.
So we already know how our government works. My problem is you doing these fair market experiments, and now meanwhile you're going, oh, okay, this doesn't work. Let's either dial it back or make adjustments, whatever it is. But in the meanwhile, my business that I built for 8 fucking years is gone.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you.
It's gone, and it's going to be hard to measure the real consequence of what this bill did because of COVID, because they were back to back. And of course, we're going to write off all the business losses as COVID,
yeah, just
like, you know, all the fucking heart disease deaths and, you know, so on and so forth. But there's real consequences to what these bills pass. And to make those adjustments based on like that Saturday night part-time gig, it's fucking cute and it's adorable, but it's fake. Like you've cost too many of us too much. And what, you know, what recourse do we have? We would have had to break the law and encourage the law to be broken by our contractors.
Yeah.
In order to ride this wave out. And, yeah, you know, the people who cut the checks, who want to run their business, who want to live clean and not have to worry about their accountant calling them and saying, hey, we got audited. You know, like they don't do that. They just go, hey, sorry, bro. If you want an hourly rate, I'll hire you, but you can't. Guess what? All that work you did for my competitors, can't do it now.
Yeah.
You know, so it was very hard for me to get multiple shops to trust me that I'm not going to take their client. I'm not going to lead their client in a new direction. And I'm not going to badmouth anybody. And that when I leave, their client will be as happy with the original hire and never know that I didn't belong to them.
Right.
That took almost a decade to build that up with multiple people, and it's a wash now. So it's cute for them to dial it back or adjust it. Or I understand your point that's how our government should work. That if there's a fuck up, we should be able to make those adjustments. But my thing is like it's too little, too late.
And I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. I'm not trying to belittle your situation.
Oh yeah, I don't feel that way. I just
okay, good.
And we're talking.
Yeah. And I think that should be also be taken into account as well. It's like when these laws are drafted or when you elect someone into office, do your fucking homework.
Absolutely.
You know who it is that you are engaging with and what they represent. And, you know, granted, it's politics and they put on a face, but do your absolute darndest to find out who the fuck you're electing in. Otherwise, you're going to elect some fool who doesn't fucking know or fucking care to know about the community that they represent.
And you know, go ahead, finish. Yeah. I apologize.
And in this case, you know, it really fucked over a lot of people. They try to do something as well-intentioned as it may have been. They fucked up. And if they had done their research about the gig economy and not just saying, oh, well, it's for Lyft and Uber, but not focusing on the wording and the verbiage, not realizing it's going to affect a lot of fucking people, they should have done their fucking homework. And that's why they should own the fact that they fucked up.
Well, and I would argue it wasn't even well-intentioned. I would argue that it was money-driven, that as a small business owner, you get write-offs.
That's
and
fair.
You get to exclude stuff. And they're like, hey, all these people are getting fucking paid money and not paying taxes on it. We need our cut. And what really irked me about this is I don't even know what fucking Republicans are left in California that have some sort of power, if any power. But it went from being talked about to being passed to being enforced in like 20 fucking days. And there That's was true. nobody standing up for the small business owner.
I
like
agree.
It just fucking happened, you know?
Yeah, and it was very fast.
It was like, who do I write a letter to? Oh, too late. Now I'm breaking the law. Which, you know, fuck it. That doesn't bother me, but it bothers the people who cut checks to me.
Yep.
You know, yep. And there was weird shit about it too. Like, you're allowed to subcontract someone in industry up to like, I think it, I want to say it was 30 times, 32 times in a year. But it's like, that's all people. So now you're like, well, fuck, I got three good contractors. You know, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to divvy it up. But what if one of them is better at something that I'm going to use 15 times? It put people in a terrible position. If nobody's doing anything illegal, let them work.
Yeah.
That's how money travels through the state.
Yeah. What I wanted to say was that, you know, granted, this is a step in the right direction in modifying AB5. You can't let them off the hook for simply saying, okay, they fixed the problem. Everything's fine again. No. You stood on the hook for fucking up in the first place.
Absolutely. And I will say, I love the perspective that it is a step in the right direction as a whole for policy.
Yes.
We create policy. It fucking goes left or right. We meant it to be centered. So what adjustments do we... That's what life is, right? Life is adjustments.
Yep.
You have a behavior. It causes outcomes. You make adjustments. And so it's kind of like when I think about when a driver makes a mistake. When a driver makes a mistake, you can get in an accident. Now, when a truck driver makes a mistake, people die.
Right.
This is a truck driver's mistake. When you're at that high a level, you don't get to make little mistakes. People really get hurt when you fuck up.
Yep. Totally agree. Totally agree. And then that kind of leads me into one of the stories that I had posted on our Facebook page in regards to an Ohio woman who falsely claimed a black man was carrying a gun in his car. So in actuality, he was just on his phone. He was waiting to go into a store or a job interview or something of that nature. But he was waiting in his car for something. And he was on the phone, just chilling, waiting it out. And there was a lady across the street who noticed him in his car, apparently looking sus for just sitting there, and called the cops and said he was carrying a gun. So when she called the cops, she was quoted as saying, "I really believe he was holding a pistol. I'm pretty darn sure it's a pistol."
That's so stupid.
The caller identified his car as black when it was dark gray. So she didn't identify the man as a black man, but she did identify his car being black. So before people jumped to the conclusion of another white lady calling the cops on a black guy, there were so many different variables, and it led me to this situation of what if? What if this lady honestly made a mistake where she saw something, according to her perspective, that was suspect across the street about this dude sitting in the car, and she thought this guy was holding the gun. So she called the cops. That's what we're told to do. If you see something, say something. So she did. Now, the cops showed up. They talked to the guy. They were like, hey, man, we got a call. And he's like, you know, this is bullshit. I didn't do anything. It's just a fucking phone. So on and so forth. It plays out, you know, as well as it could have gone. The question that I have is there room for honest mistakes anymore during this political climate with Black Lives Matter and the continuing racial injustice? Are there room for error?
There is room for error. And there is room for honest mistakes. Here's the problem. when the outcome of your mistake can cost someone their life, you have a responsibility to get the information as accurate as possible. The fact that the color of the car was incorrect, you're no longer allowed to pass on information. If you can't get the appropriate color for 80% of what you're looking at, if you're looking at someone in their car, I would argue that 80% of what you see is the exterior shell of that vehicle.
Right.
If you can't identify the correct color, you're no longer allowed to say what's in that car. Now, you are completely fucking responsible for the outcome of that. So if someone got hurt, I think that's on you. You can't, I would say that if you're going to say, if you're, well, here, let's pretend there was no 911 dispatch. How shitty would it be of her to tell a cop directly to endanger his life, to put him on notice that someone may have a gun and you honestly believe that they have a gun and you're fucking wrong. And yeah, you put that cop through the tension of approaching someone who he now believes has a gun because you told him that.
Right.
If you don't have the ability to be correct, then you need to say as insanely clearly as you can to that dispatch, hey, look, he had something up to his head. It was black, about 6 inches. Could have been a gun. Could have been a phone. Could have been a sandwich. I don't know. But you cannot say, hey, I'm pretty sure it was a gun, and you have the fucking color of the vehicle wrong. I'm pretty sure you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Honestly be an idiot. It can be an honest mistake. Yeah, you can honestly be an idiot. Like, they're out there, and they call 911. So.
Yeah, I think there definitely is room for error as well. You know, and if someone, you know, does make a mistake, you know, I feel like the police should be trained well enough to understand, like, okay, we got a call, but the call could be wrong. Let's just investigate the facts and see what's going on. But I don't like the idea that a caller makes a call and they're no longer responsible for anything that follows there within after.
Correct.
I would really enjoy seeing some type of accountability from the caller. Now, I know there's some situations where, you know, you're like, you want to leave an anonymous tip or something of that nature. But I feel like maybe there should be like some kind of, you know, like something relevant to attorney-client privilege or doctor-client privilege where, you know, you can respect the conversation that happens between you and the 911 dispatcher. But if something goes wrong, we need to be able to reach you for further information. You
can't have
anonymous tips.
There are new laws now, right? We're like,
oh, yeah.
They are going back and arresting these Karens, right?
Yeah.
That are like saying someone at a barbecue is doing something wrong and turns out nothing's wrong. Like, guess what? Now they're actually starting to pursue these false claims because, hey, dude, that does put cops in a shitty position, dude. In a world where we're very critical of police and every reaction that they have is monitored, I would be livid at the fact that people are basically setting us up.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Right or wrong, like, you pass on bad information, one of us reacts, and now we're the ones on fucking 2020 or Turning Point or, I don't know, World Star. And, you know, it's because you fucking thought someone's cell phone was a gun? Like,
yeah, absolutely. You really think about it. You know, you enter a police, received a call, then you have the victim or criminal, whatever, the other party involved in the situation. You have the setting between these two parties, and the setting is determined by the anonymous caller.
Yes.
That's totally unfair for the caller to just set up this setting with zero accountability to their error, misjudgment, or malintent.
Cops are like, they're playing this game. Remember Minesweep? That old game?
Yeah, yeah, that game.
Everything's a fucking three. Everything's a three. You know, like, the caller is wrong, the car color is wrong, the stereotype is right. Like, everything's a three, and nobody knows how that game works.
No, not at all.
We just know threes are fucking bad. Next move is a bomb. You know what I mean?
What a great analogy.
And that's like a cop's life right now. And I've been critical, more critical than most people could be. But it's like, yeah, dude, this is that. It's different when a cop pulls someone over and they're approaching a vehicle unknown and going through their own shit. But when they've been fed misinformation, whether intentionally or not, it's like, you know what I would say if I was a cop? I would have this, because they do reserve the number. Even if it's anonymous, they can still call you back. I would have the dispatch call back to that number and say, guess what? there were no black vehicles, so I didn't fuck with anybody.
That's fair.
You know what I mean? Or the black vehicles that were there was no one in them, so they moved on. I wouldn't go to like, okay, well, she said black. Well, gray is kind of black. It's like black with white, right? It's black minus shades. So let's go fuck with this guy in the gray car.
Then everyone has to study their colors. Like, oh, the color of the car was like a desert sky, maybe a salmon.
I mean, you got to get the fucking tone right. You know, like, you don't got to tell me it's champagne. Say brown. But don't say brown and it was green.
Totally right, man. It's funny.
That's not fucking fair. Hey, dude, I had a quick question.
Oh, shoot.
As we approach September 11th, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah. What about that? Yeah, anniversary coming up.
What are you, half a terrorist? You can't say that shit out loud. You forgot about September 11th. What about all the other people who died on September 11th? Like, what do you mean? Well, just like there was other people that died on September 11th, right? Like car accidents, heart disease, alcoholism, yep. Cancer. Yeah. Like, what about them? Like, we only remember the people in the towers on September 11th? They kind of got fucked, right?
Yeah, just the 2,997.
Yeah, it was like 3,000. Yeah, so, but outside of that, like, if you died on September 11th, like, shut up, bro. It's their day.
You're not completely wrong, because I remember, you know, John Stewart was in Congress fighting for the 9/11 responders.
Yeah, the firefighters, the first responders, exactly.
Yeah, they were getting fucked with their health care. And John Stewart was fucking pissed, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
Rightfully so. But that's a total testament to the fact that, you know, people say we'd ever forget. No, we forget.
But I don't mean the other people who died because of September 11th. I'm saying, like, if your grandma died on September 11th due to old age.
Yeah.
Like, are you allowed to memorialize her that day? She wasn't at the Twin Towers. She died in, like, Iowa.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to think about her, or September 11th strictly for the people who died of that terrorist attack?
I hope not. It's my mom's birthday. Am I an asshole for partying on 9/11? Because it's my mom's birthday.
Comedy clubs are open on 9/11, so
that's why I forget about 9/11. So I'm like, okay, 9/11, but I'm thinking, oh, it's my mom's birthday, September 11th.
You know what's funny? When Vinny was little, like when he got to the age where he's like no longer allowed to get into places for free, like Disneyland or whatever.
Oh yeah.
But like he's free till he's 4. When he was like 9, I was like, he's 4, and they're like, no, he's not. And then I would train him, and he goes, my birthday is September 11th. And no one, if you question September 11th, you're a fucking terrorist. So they'd be like, oh, come on in, young man. Like, so if you need to get in somewhere for free, your kid was born on September 11th.
Good to know. That's good facts. What else is going on in 2020? Oh, this is like a sliver of hope in the darkness of 2020.
99 cent stores?
A glimmer of light, not just in 99 cent stores.
Okay.
It has been announced that Keeping Up with the Kardashians is coming to an end.
I heard about that. So they're going to kill him?
That's what I'm hoping, the season finale, or the series finale, rather.
I mean, they served one purpose, and it was that show.
Pretty much. They've been on the air since 2007.
Isn't that amazing?
I think it's like 19 seasons, 20 seasons, what the fuck? 14 years?
14 years, 20 seasons.
That is, well, first and foremost, ridiculous that you know that off the top of your head.
No, I read it. I have to look at my notes.
I have to look at my notes. You just knew it right at the top.
No, you know what's funny is someone on Facebook posted, like, if you could write off on a mythical creature, which one would you write off? And people are putting, like, Atreyu from Neverending Story. There's, you know, all these hipster references.
Yeah.
And I was like, a Kardashian. I would pick appropriately based on the task at hand.
Their highest rating was in 2011, around 10.5 million people tuned in for the failed wedding of
the her and that basketball player.
That's shit. Yeah, and then now they're scaling like around under 900,000 viewers.
That's so terrible.
They're calling it quits, but you know, I think I don't want to just celebrate the fact that the Kardashians are over, but I've never liked this whole famous for being famous thing.
Yeah.
I mean, she had a sex tape. It was meh sick. I mean, she is visually
she's
appealing.
Gorgeous.
She's yes. pretty.
She's
not
gorgeous.
In person. I've seen her in person. I met her in person.
Oh, really? I haven't.
Not great in person.
Thank God. I'd probably be so inappropriate.
I was just one. I was like, really? This is your Kim Kardashian? That was my thought. And whatever. But you know, I just don't like the impact of famous for being famous, which I think started this modern era with Paris Hilton. And I just never got it. I never understood it. And I never respected it because she and the family never brought anything productive to the table. You know, just as of recent, she's been more of an advocate for criminal reform and justice. Correct. So I respect that. I appreciate that. I support that.
As of now. Yes,
but
I agree.
The rest of it, just being famous for being famous and trying to be that, just that, they're trying to instill this influencer generation of famous for being famous, has been so detrimental to our culture.
And not to mention, brother, the dozens of great men that they've destroyed along the way. Of wonderful men, of athletes, of artists, of top tier men that have just been decimated by whatever the fuck is in their pussies. I don't know.
Do you think it's like, you know, like the Ark of the Covenant in Indiana Jones, where you're like, oh man, I kind of want to know what's inside.
You think she's the Ark?
I just want to take a peek.
But then your eyes burn out and you're never the same again. You know, you become Caitlyn, you become Kanye, crazy as fuck, running for president, trying to steal black votes from Democrats. You
Lamar become Odom.
Lamar Odom overdosed in a whorehouse in Las Vegas. By the way, none of the whores overdosed. So he was a lone ranger that day. Yeah, I don't know, man. They're a thing. And you know, look, let's be fair. While we talk about Kim's recent accomplishments with the prison system, what got her there was her money. Because we have a president who entertains entertainment, and he's shown that if you have enough money, you can get a seat with the king. And that's what it took for her to do that. And I'm glad she's using that position and that capital to do something positive. But if we didn't have such a shallow fucking top chair, she would have never had that position to begin with. So, you know, I'm glad that the stars aligned for her to do something dope for someone outside of Calabasas. But other than that, you know, and they made fucking Ryan Seacrest one of the richest men in Southern California, a man who, by the way, is a great host, but zero talent. How did we get to this place where maybe that's what he was doing as job security, just making the upper echelon full of no talent, having ass motherfuckers, instead of like jobs where people used to like act or write or create. Let's just make no talent the top tier. That way all these people with talent freak out and they don't know what the fuck to do with themselves.
Yeah, I think it's just part of the machine. You know, you take something and you put it in the machine, you have all this backing and you can make something. Sometimes it doesn't work, sometimes it does. And if it does and you really, you know, hit gold with that, it really turns into something astronomical. And I think that's what you saw with the Kardashians. But I'm glad this show is over. I hope that we start to see the general decline of the Kardashian clan, unless they continue to do something good in the world, like criminal justice reform.
I think the new reality show is they all get incarcerated and Kim K has to get them out.
That's a reality show. I'd probably be entertaining.
Prison Break, Calabasas.
Yeah. I wonder if any of the Kardashian clan would suffer from pre-crime. Now,
pre-cum?
No, well, to be definitely that's definitely present. That's no doubt.
I would suffer from pre-cum.
Pasco County Sheriff Chris Noko in Florida took office in 2011 with a bold plan. He said that he was going to create a cutting edge intelligence program that would stop crime before it happened, putting Kim Kardashian out of a job.
Wait, Minority Report?
Like Minority Report. Pre-crime.
All right.
And they're actually doing it. So
in Florida,
they're doing it in Florida. It's been an active program. And just recently I read an article about the backlash from the community about this program and how much they fucking hate it because the cops are using it to zero in on people that haven't done anything and just harass them, follow them, scope them out, waiting for them to do the crime that they've predicted they're going to do.
first of all, it'd be very easy to do pre-crime predictions in Florida and be accurate because they're all, you can lock them all up. There's not a Floridian that follows American law. Florida's this weird fucking place, top to bottom in the world. It just doesn't, it's non sequitur to anything American.
You know, I didn't even think about that fact, but you're completely right.
I thought you thought about it because you were like, you were breaking into the description and then you specifically said in Florida, you did like the comma in Florida, comma. No,
I wanted to make sure I provided a location because I don't think everyone knows where Pasco County is.
Yes, that's correct. But it only makes sense once you add that insert, that clause.
Look. So this is how it works. So first, the sheriff's office, they generate a list of people that they consider likely to break the law. And it's based on arrest histories, unspecified intelligence.
Unspecified intelligence. That's all of Florida again. Yeah.
Arbitrary decisions by police analysts. And then they send that information to deputies to find and interrogate anyone whose name appears on this list, often without probable cause, a search warrant, or even fucking evidence of a specific crime.
Something tells me this guy listens to a lot of people whose eyes roll back when they talk to him. Like,
No, he's talking again. Yeah, dude. So I saw that, you know, a number of other counties in the country have utilized this type of prediction system.
Really?
Yes, but when there was a community backlash, they decided to back off of it. So I remember seeing also like a TV, like a, you know, like an ABC News Tonight kind of thing, you know, the news. Uh-huh. And they did a piece where they were talking about this type of pre-crime element where they would use it to look at neighborhoods.
Okay.
So they would provide more patrols in the neighborhood, just kind of, you know, keep an eye on things. Now, I can get behind that. You know, there's a lot of crime. Okay, let's keep an eye on things. Be present, sure.
Yeah.
But be a positive presence. I can get behind that. But if you're just going to start listing off people based on unspecified intelligence.
Yes.
You got me all kinds of fucked up. So the other communities that did this, there was backlash and they eventually discontinued the program. They have actually expanded the program in Pasco County just because they feel like it's working. But in actuality, it's a flaming pile of dog shit.
Well, I mean, and also you can have a shitty enough community where something like that would work because they're 100% all shit bags. You know, if your sheriff thinks he's predicting crime, which I guess, I mean, there are analytics, right? Where you can predict like, okay, if somebody told me, guess a city in America that was going to have 50 shootings Labor Day weekend, I wouldn't predict that Chicago is going to have 50 shootings, but I would predict Chicago be at the top of that list.
It'd be a contender, sure.
And that's exactly what happened this weekend. 50 right. Shootings, you know, plenty of innocent bystanders. But if you're the sheriff and you think you can fine point who's going to like produce these instances of crime right. Based on unspecified intelligence, which is like one drug dealer reporting another drug dealer, right? That's what unspecified intelligence is.
Yeah, something like that.
Hey, dude, we're twinsies. We're both wearing green shirts. Look at that. Twinsies. Sorry. Anyways, this is like the whole thing is so ridiculous. It's as ridiculous as, you know what? We need to move the Kardashians down to that town and give them another 20 years.
Just have them broadcast there.
Yeah. You know what? You guys got to be 100 millionaires in this country. And for it, you have to move down to Pasco County.
Yeah.
Pasco you got to move County. Down to Pasco County and do 20 years worth of charity work down there.
I get behind that.
And you got to make a sex tape with that sheriff, bitch.
That's
and
all.
He'll say, I predicted it.
I saw this coming, literally. that's pretty much all I got for news this week. And we're running towards the end of the show, so we want to get into some you-know-whats.
I got a quick let's get deep.
Oh, let's do it. I think we can do that quick. Yeah.
Right, right. It's not a big one. Is getting offended a choice?
Is getting offended a choice? That's a really good question. Do I have the ability to choose to be offended, or am I just naturally offended?
Correct.
I'm gonna say, if you are someone with deep conviction or deep morals, and someone does something that opposes those morals, I will say you inherently become offended because you're so convicted towards those beliefs.
I'll agree in the sense that I can't always control what makes my blood boil.
Exactly.
But I for sure can dwell on some shit causing the temperature of my blood to rise.
That I also agree with as well.
And in both instances, I would love to think that I'm not always responsible for my response. But my response to whatever is definitely a choice, right?
Absolutely. I think you can inherently become offended, but I think you can also be a good person enough to realize that your reaction is your choice.
Now, just like if a tree screams and no one was in the forest, I don't know how that how does that euphemism? Anyways, so if you're offended, if you're innately offended, but you make the active decision to not respond and no one knows you were offended, were you ever truly offended?
I think it goes back to your position on being able to dwell on something. If you're able to dwell and you're dwelling with trying to see the perspective of the other person, you're less likely to be offended.
So,
because you're not just in your convictions.
Then are you only offended if anybody knows you were offended? If you were offended and no one knows, were you ever actually offended? You see?
I'm going to say no, because people who are offended need to let everyone know that they are offended.
At least hey, someone,
I'm a,
right?
I'm a vegan. Everyone needs to know this.
First rule of vegan club.
Let everyone
tell
know.
Tell everyone. No, yeah. But like, are you truly offended if you didn't voice it? Because if you're offended and you're like, that upsets me, but I'm not going to say nothing, then maybe you weren't really offended. Maybe you were just being a bitch. But
no, I think you could be offended and not have to feel the urge to let everyone know, hey, I'm offended. You can possess that to yourself.
Yeah.
I want to say so.
That's the let's get deep. That's what I'm saying.
That was a really good one.
Thanks, man.
That was really good one.
One a month and it's September 11th. So
congratulations.
You got any, you know what?
I got a couple. I got a couple.
Hit me with one.
I'm going to hit you with one. Anyone who says, hey, I'm sorry. Hey, you know what?
What's that, bro?
Fuck that up. Anyone who says, anyone who says they single-handedly have the answer doesn't.
Absolutely.
Fuck them and fuck them hard. And that was just in recent Trump bringing up shit, I just thought to myself, this guy's always saying, oh, I have the answer. Only I can do this and only me. Like, man, fuck you, dude. Anyone who says that shit is probably bullshitting.
Is there anything more befuddling to his history or his legacy than his lack of leadership? Like, if COVID didn't happen,
yeah,
and the economy was as it was in February, and our foreign policy was as it was in February,
yep,
and our state as a nation was as it was in February,
yep,
would there be anything more terrible to describe him by than just the fact that he can't fucking lead anything?
No, I think he would have bullshitted his way through. I think his lasting legacy will ultimately just be the fact that he did not give a fuck about anyone else besides himself.
And to me, that would be the failure in leadership. Like, think of all the things that have happened, like, remember we were joking around about the first pitch thing, like that Ouchie Fauci got offered a first pitch,
yeah.
And he said the Yankees offered me one, and the Yankees came out, and no, we fucking didn't.
Yeah.
Like, just the shit like that, like, it's like, dude, you know what? Outside the COVID thing, you weren't batting too bad. You had a decent average. There was a lot of people that could have made a decent argument for your influence on the country.
Yeah.
Outside of the fact that you got to say stupid shit like the Yankees invited me. You know what I mean? Like your lack of leadership, your failure to be what the Kennedys were, what even Clinton was, even what George Bush was after September 11th.
Yeah.
We all got behind George Bush, you know, like, dude, you had a real time to be an American fucking, like, icon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's disgusting. You got another one?
Yeah, I got one more.
All right, hit me.
You know what, man?
What's that, brother?
I'm just about ready to blame Generation X for America's current woes. I'm just about ready.
I'm with you. You don't even got to sell it to me, but sell it to me anyways.
I'm not 100% on how I'm going to sell that just yet, but I was just kind of putting pieces together in my mind visually, you know, like a puzzle sometimes. And I'm just thinking, like, you know what? Generation X isn't spoken about with any real purpose. They don't know how to use the internet. They haven't been accredited for anything. You had like the baby boomers who brought about the end of the world wars and the greatest generation. They had their kids, which eventually was Generation X. And I think Generation X, and I'm speaking off the top here, they were given the spoils of war and spoiled it and didn't do anything to progress the nation and instead just entrenched future generations, which eventually was the millennials.
You know, I agree. I blame it on the baby boomers. Do you remember my three generation theory?
Hit me with it.
The generation that worked for it, the generation that reaped the benefits of the work, but forgot how hard or remembered seeing the work, but got the rewards.
Right.
And the third generation is the total Reaganomics drip down effect. Didn't see the work, didn't participate, but got the benefits.
Okay.
So I blame the baby boomers because I think Generation X still saw the work. And then we're here at, what are we, hipsters? What the fuck are we?
Well, we're millennials. You have Generation Z following closely behind us.
Yeah, so I think Generation Z and millennials are the ones that are going to be, they're too far from the real work.
I agree. I think you're right. I think now that I'm providing that, well, you know what? It's not just so much a generation specifically, like the millennials or Generation Z, or even Generation X. I might have to backpedal that one a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think as we get further away, people become desensitized to what it
Absolutely.
Took to make this country great. And I think that we're seeing some issues
even,
with that.
Even what it took to earn a buck. Like this whole COVID thing has put us in a place where everybody wants to like Etsy shit, you know? And like... It's like, what about the fucking coal miners? Remember a year ago we were telling coal miners to learn coding?
Nah.
Do you remember that conversation? There was like a hashtag learn coding because we're going to get away from coal. And then Donald Trump brought back the coal mines. It was just like, we had coal miners a year ago. And now we're all trying to figure out stamps.com so we could send, you know, a fucking button or some shit that we made. Like, dude, it takes, there's real work that has to be done. And technology also helps enable us to like be numb to it all. You know, I remember my dad telling me about Vietnam being on TV.
Yeah.
And how crazy that was. That like, that's what stopped the Vietnam War was that there were reporters that got embedded with troops and it was like, we're done. We're not doing this.
Yeah.
And now it's like, we're in like three active wars, although actually Trump pulled us out of a lot of it, but like we're in three active wars leading up to this past election.
Yeah.
And we just, none of us, it was like, it was, you know, out of sight, out of mind. Isn't that fucking crazy, dude?
It is fucking crazy. And I think that's a testament to American ignorance of being out of sight, out of mind. And then the continuous news cycle, because it continues with that 24/7 changing breaking news every
Absolutely.
So often. No one gives a fuck about anything because there's no time to attach ourselves sentimentally.
And having a fucking circus clown lead the charge gives us enough to fucking refresh the feed every morning.
Right. And that's why I appreciate, you know, some such movements like Black Lives Matter, as well as, you know, seeing Breonna Taylor's name start to fall off. And people are like, hey, man, I haven't seen Breonna Taylor's name in a while. So I'm going to throw it back out there to make sure that we didn't forget. I appreciate
Absolutely.
That type of dedication to the cause.
I got a couple quick, you know what's.
What's up?
You know what?
What?
The 99-cent store battery packs. Like if you buy batteries from the 99-cent store.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like vampires.
Oh, how so?
If you kill the right one, the whole pack dies. You could buy like 15 batteries from the 99-cent store, but if you get the right one and that one dies, none of them are working. They're done.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It's just like the rest of them. You know what?
What?
We need a hashtag Me3 movement.
Hashtag Me3.
Yeah. And I don't really care what it relates to or what it stands for or what it ties to. But just when people go, me too, I want someone to go, me three.
That's true. Remember, like, you know, people would be like, "Oh, I'm hungry," but "Oh, me too." And then you as a kid be like, "Oh, me three."
That guy, he needs to create a hashtag. So we can get going, man.
I support that.
I'm done covering the same six topics.
You know, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Thanks, bro. I love you too.
I caught myself like, man, I've brought up the police in some form or fashion, at least in the past three or four episodes, consistently.
Well, both of us.
But
I said something nice about him today. Isn't that weird?
I mean, that's the thing. You know, every story is not police bashing or police supporting. What I hope to accomplish with each of these stories that I've brought up and check out each episode is to provide some perspective. I want everyone to take a look at these stories and drive the conversation of like, okay, yeah, you know, the police aren't all bad. The police aren't all good. But I want the conversation to continue about the police because there's enough stories that are serious enough that warrant a conversation. It's not just because I want to keep fucking picking on them, but these are situations where a conversation needs to take place about it.
Well, and how about this? People talk about you can not care about politics or you don't got to get involved with politics, but politics can get involved with you.
Yep.
Same thing with police. You can not have a perspective, but they got one on you, bro. Especially if you live in Basco County, fucking. No, but I mean, in reality, like you cannot take a stance on police violence or perspective or any of that sense. But guess what? One day they might take a stance against you.
Yep. I totally agree with that. That's great. That's a great point. Great point.
Break us down, dude. Close us out.
Cool. As always, we want to thank you all for joining us here in Pound Town. But before we go, we want to remind you to subscribe and leave us that 5-star review on iTunes. It's worth gold to us podcasters, bruh.
Yeah, yeah.
Wherever you're listening to help the show grow. Get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and follow us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do and want to become a short sponsor, drop a dollar in our Venmo at Social Nuisance and we'll say some stupid shit that you submitted to us.
Yeah.
And lastly, don't forget there is power in numbers and together we can be a nuisance towards the betterment of humanity. My name is Imagine. That's the Main Man Motion. And we'll see y'all next week on the Social Nuisance Podcast.
Thank y'all. Hashtag fuck. Go share. Go fuck. Hashtag go fuck themselves. Hashtag fuck Ralph Garman. Hashtag me three.